motherfucker.
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
With Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, haha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio. Vic and Sade are here. I always want to say Vic and Sadie or Sade because it's pronounced like the singer or the group, the singer, Sade. Anyway, Vic and Sade, Vic's geographical trip, and I don't have a day in a month for this one, but it was disappeared in 1939.
Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we join our friends at the small house halfway up in the next block now. Here on the front porch, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and young Mr. Rush Gook. Mother and son are seated side by side in the swing, interestedly watching the approaching figure of Mr. Victor Gook, who's briskly striding along Virginia Avenue's neat concrete sidewalk. Listen.
Your father feels jolly about something.
You can tell by his elastic step, huh?
Yeah, and that kind of halfway smug look on his face.
Hey, hey, hold the hole. Hey, hey, hold the hole.
Hi. See how jolly he feels?
Maybe he got a raise in his pay.
Yeah.
Hello, Sadie. Hello, Rush.
This is private property. Better get off the grass before we sick the bulldog on you.
Quit leaning on a person, Rush. Shove over. This porch swing is plenty big enough for two people.
Was there a beautiful woman, heavily veiled and greatly agitated, come past here a few minutes ago looking for me?
Yeah. Will you move over?
I'm making room for Gov.
Well, sit on the railing. Too hot a day to be squeezed to a pulp.
Hello, Sadie. Hello, Rush.
Hi.
Where's Pete and Bill and Oscar and Leroy and Harry? Where's Florence and Grace and Edith and Belle and Josephine?
Get a raise in your pay, Gov?
No. Why?
You're in such excellent spirits.
I'm in excellent spirits because my soul is a buttercup which has caught the liquid sunshine in its chalice. Move over and let me sit down before I break both your legs.
Get up, Rush, and take a seat on the railing. Not space for three people in this swing.
Hello, Sadie.
Hello. Mailman brought another dun from Kleeberger's afternoon.
Hello, Sadie.
What's making you feel so good?
I feel good because my life is an open book on whose snowy pages is written a beautiful story of noble deeds. Tobacco juice, old stone bruise. Before I forget it, I better tell you you're supposed to telephone Rooster Davis.
What for?
I have no idea. I bumped into Rooster down on Division Street, and he told me to tell you to call him without delay. I gathered it was a matter of immediate and vital importance.
When does he want me to call him?
At once.
Well, how can I do that if he's down on Division Street? Has he got a magic telephone with him? Has he got a telephone with half a mile of cord attached to it?
I've delivered the message, and my interest in the affair is concluded. You may telephone Rooster or not telephone Rooster, just as you choose.
If it's so important, you can telephone me.
Hello, Sadie.
What's got into you today?
I'm pleased with myself and the world.
Why?
Well, the thing that gives me the keenest pleasure is the anticipation of tomorrow's newspaper.
Tomorrow's newspaper?
I won't be the least bit astonished if tomorrow's newspaper carries a lengthy article concerning the activities of Mr. Victor Rodney Gook, the big slob from Virginia Avenue.
They're going to print something about you?
I think it likely.
About your trip, Gov?
You hit the nail square on the head, Sawhorse, about my trip. Here's what happened, kiddo. I was sitting in my office this afternoon. By the way, you know Ed Griefer?
I know Olive Griefer. Olive's the girl there in Yamilton's that mailed out.
She's Ed's sister. Ed's on the newspaper.
Reporter, ain't he?
Yeah. Also, he's a Sky Brother in the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way. Good fella, Ed. Well, to get back to what I started to say, I was sitting in my office this afternoon and the phone rang and here was old Ed. What's this I hear about you roaming around the North American continent last week, Gook, he says. I don't know, Ed, I says. What did you hear? They tell me you and your boss took a business trip down south, he says. That's correct, I says. Where all'd you go, he says. Well, I started to tell him and hadn't more than said about nine words and in come Miss Gregg with some hurry-up papers to O.K. So I told Ed I'd call him back later and hung up.
I understand Olive Grief earns a wonderful salary there in Hamilton's. Who was it telling me? Miss Lawrence?
I don't know. Listen, let me go ahead with this as long as I got it in my teeth in it.
Mm.
After I finished the work Miss Gregg brought in, I reached for the telephone intending to call Ed back. And then I thought, what the heck? I'll write down the highlights of my trip. See, Stu?
Huh.
Be doing Ed a favor because he wants stuff for his paper.
Huh.
So I picked up a pencil and started to scribble, and by gosh, I was inspired. Wrote and wrote and wrote. You know how many sheets I filled?
No.
15.
Thanks.
15 sheets I filled. Of course, it only made 6 sheets after it was typewritten.
Had it typewritten and everything, huh?
Sure. Took Miss Gregg almost 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Took Miss Gregg almost 2 hours to copy off on her machine what I'd dashed off out of my head in less than 40 minutes.
Lance.
I was inspired. No getting around it. Words just flew from that pencil.
What all did you say, Gov?
Oh, lots of stuff. Told about Kentucky, told about Indiana, told about Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And after Miss Gregg had my manuscript all neatly typed, I put it in an envelope and sent the office boy over to Ed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Ed would be delighted. He called me up hoping to get a paragraph or so of news, and by George, I come through with a whole doggone article.
Mm-hmm.
If I can recall any of the florid phrases and sweeping sentences, I'll quote them for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I said something about... Oh, listen. Kentucky is the land of the red sun, the blue grass, and the white cotton. Red, white, and blue, the colors of the flag that flies over the greatest nation on the face of the earth.
Hey.
Not altogether rotten for an amateur, huh?
Very nice.
And then I said something about Indiana. Bordering Illinois on the east is a state of hills as well as plains. Many important industries sections are a delight to the traveler's eye. Dozens of large cities adorn Indiana's broad terrain. LaPorte, Terre Haute, Elkhart, and so on and so forth. I flatter myself.
Walter.
Yeah.
They get an enormous big thrill out of junk like that.
Junk?
You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
They like to tell Carberry people about Sister Sadie's man that has his own office. Shirts to work every day of the world.
Hey, listen to what I said about Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio is north of Pennsylvania and south of Michigan. Native Ohioans refer to their commonwealth as the Free State.
That's a mistake.
What is?
Ohio ain't the Hoosier State. Indiana's the Hoosier State.
No.
Ohio's the Buckeye State.
Is it?
Sure.
Well, if it's wrong, they can fix it there in the newspaper. Native Ohio. And this affectionate...
Telephone rush.
Telephone?
Yeah.
I never heard it.
I did. Go answer it. Probably.
I like the rhythm of that sentence. Ohio is north of Kentucky, east of Indiana, west of Pennsylvania, and south of Michigan.
Is that very newsy?
Sure.
Don't people already appreciate where Ohio is?
No.
Oh, if you were talking about... Little dinky Ohio, just a tiny ways off. Lands, I should think.
I've got much that same sentence structure in my treatment of Kentucky. Kentucky... Missouri, north of Tennessee, west of the Virginias, and south of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. The Mississippi River washes Kentucky shores, as does the Silver Streams, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all probable that my article will be reprinted by both the Lodge Magazine and the Kitchenware Dealers Quarterly.
Huh?
Of course, I'm not the kind of a bird that's thirsty for notoriety, but... It don't hurt a fella any to appear in the public eye.
Hmm.
Here's something else I say about Indiana. South of Michigan, west of Ohio, and north of Kentucky. Native Indianans love to refer to their commonwealth as the Gopher State. And this affectionate nickname...
Who was that, Brewster?
No.
Not anybody for me.
No, it was Mr. Griefer.
Indiana is east of Illinois, south...
Nick, that was your Mr. Griefer.
Griefer? Ed? On the phone?
Yeah.
Well, why the heck didn't you holler?
He hung up.
Hung up? Rush, what kind of half-wit business?
Well, he didn't want to talk to you, Gov.
Didn't want to talk to me?
He was kind of mad.
What the heck is this now?
He says, who does your old man think he is? Marco Polo discovering a new route to the West Indies? He says, tell your father, newspaper readers already know Indiana's east of Illinois.
Go ahead.
He says, when we want to print first-grade geography textbooks, we'll give your father first crack at it.
Proceed.
He says, I'd have passed on your information about Ohio being north of Kentucky to the city editor, only I was afraid he wouldn't survive the shock of such a revelation.
Proceed.
Then he hung up. There is going to be something about you in the paper, though, Gov.
What?
V.R. Gook of this city was absent on business last week. V.R. Gook of this city was absent on business last week.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and her son, Mr. Rush Gook. Sade, who is established in her husband's easy chair beneath the floor lamp, nods over a novel she received as a Christmas present, while young Rush, lying at full length of the davenport, gazes at the ceiling and thinks thoughts. But suddenly sounds are heard in the kitchen. Listen.
Hey, in here, guys. Your mother home?
She's asleep.
I'm not either.
Well, you look like...
Is she upstairs?
No. What's the big commotion?
Oh, look, kiddo.
Hello. Are you going...
Listen, there's a special lodge meeting called for this evening.
We're playing 500 with Fred and Ruthie this evening.
Well, that'll have to be called off. L.W. Eakins from Chicago headquarters is in town. Look, you two guys will have to jump in and help a fella out. I've got to wear my regalia and memorize a special ritualistic greeting and everything else. Have to be down at the hall by 4:45. It's almost 4 now. Andy, hop up from there and stand at attention and be ready to receive orders.
You want me to go up?
I want you to get me my lodge stuff from upstairs, make a telephone call to Hank Gutstop, and dig volume 7 out of my lodge library, out of the bookcase, and 69 other things. Kiddo, you'll give me a hand too, won't you?
We got an engagement with Fred Ruthie. You know yourself.
Well, that'll have to be canceled. I'm sorry, but it can't be helped.
I better phone him right now, then. Give him a chance to make other plans.
All right. Goose Cutter, let's not stand around with our teeth in our mouth. Trot along.
Take him back till I get through calling Ruthie.
Well, I got no time to waste.
Well, I'm not going to have you fellas plowing around upstairs and tearing the house apart. There's stacks of Christmas presents in every single clothes closet, and I'm the only one that knows...
Okay, but make it snappy. Rush, get me volume 7 out of the bookcase.
Okay.
2572X, please. Correct.
I have to learn an official greeting by heart. And I have to phone Hank Goodstop and dictate an official greeting for him to memorize. Maybe you can do that.
What's all this that's going on now? What excuse shall I give him? You can't...
L.W. Eakins is in town.
Who's he?
One of the major executives of the Chicago headquarters of the Sacred Stars...
Hello, lady. I bet you were taking a nap.
Volume 7 now.
That's so? Well, Rush and me have been doing the same thing. Vic went downtown right after dinner and just this minute got home.
That was what I have to memorize.
Yeah.
Paragraph, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my, I bet you were. How long they stay?
Run up quick now and bring me down my lodge regalia. All of it.
Well, I should think so.
Boots, sword, tunic, plumed hat,
your
robe.
Pants ain't available.
Golly, yes.
What do you mean?
I'm lending them to Tom Hackett.
Happens every time.
Who's Tom Hackett?
Butcher over in Middleton's butcher shop. He needed him to be Santa Claus.
Sade.
Well, what does Fred think?
Sade.
Hey, a person's trying to talk over... Excuse me, Ruthie. Vic's trying to say something in just a second. What's the matter?
Are my lodge pants upstairs?
Well, I suppose they're upstairs if you put them upstairs.
You lent them to Tom Hackett. Don't you remember?
Oh, golly, that's right. He took the part of Santa Claus and I...
Well, if this ain't the finest.
Well, you can drop by and pick them up. His landlady will give them to you.
His landlady can go jump in the lake. I haven't
got
time to...
We'll through here, Vic. Ruthie's waiting on the wire.
You may inform Ruthie that
lady,
this what you have
I'm
to memorize?
Sorry. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, little frenzied brother of mine. Wring
sure.
Your clutching hands and listen for the call of the golden
uh-huh.
Oriole.
as maiden danced by the flashing
pool
in the mischievous Tarantella.
Rush, will you be quiet? Mm. Both of you be quiet. Say, lady, I better tell you why I phoned. Yeah. We're not going to be able to play 500 this evening. No. Well, it's like this. Vic's Lodge is having a special meeting. Yeah, some fella from Chicago's in town, and I guess he's... Who's the fella, Vic?
Will you get through there and explain about my past?
I asked you a question. Who's the Chicago fella?
L.W. Eakin.
He's a big, large muckety-muck?
Yeah.
He's some man named Mr. Eakin, some big muckety-muck in the lodge. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, look, this don't make any difference to you and Fred, does it? Uh-huh. Well, I thought I'd better get in touch with you right away so you could make other plans. Yeah.
Will you make that steppy?
Later on the week will be grand. Surely. You bet. Well, you explain to Fred. Yeah. All right, Ruthie. All right. Goodbye. There's no call to work yourself into a stool. You can pick up your lodge pants on the way downtown.
I have to dress here.
All right, let Rush trot over after him.
Trot over after him, Rush.
Tom Hackett lives on North Center Street, don't he?
I haven't the remotest idea.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Shall I go there first, or shall I go to Smelly Clark's house first?
Smelly Clark's house?
Little hat.
Didn't you bring that back? Oh, my.
What's this mystery now?
Well, don't jump through the ceiling, but Rush, let Smelly Clark take your plume hat.
You give me permission, Mom.
Yeah, but I certainly thought you'd use your head enough to get
Rush,
it back.
Rush, let Smelly Clark take my plumed hat. Get you what?
To use as an ornament on his Christmas tree. See, they wanted something to put on the tip-top of the tree to make
you
it...
You may round me up my plumed hat in my lodge rope without another second's delay.
Hadn't I better go...
No! Sid, I will make a little speech about what I think of people who lend out private possessions of others to every half-wit in
town. Well, goodness, I never expected
I will make my speech later. Right now, however, I'm very closely pressed for time and would like to ask you to do me a favor.
What is it?
Telephone Hank Gutstoff and read him this paragraph. He's supposed to memorize it.
I don't like Hank Gutstoff, Vic.
It won't hurt you to call him on the telephone, will it?
Well, I don't like him, and he knows I don't like him.
So my own wife won't cooperate with me in the matter of the greatest importance.
What do you want me to tell him?
I want you to read something to him. He'll have paper and pencil and write as you dictate.
Hmm.
Here's the place right here.
Don't have to read a whole book to him, do I?
Just this paragraph I'm pointing to.
What's it supposed to be?
Regular prescribed official greeting from an exalted little dipper to a visiting dignitary. Hank has to memorize.
Hey!
What's the better phrase?
Well, this is that Greek junk.
Latin junk.
You expect me to make out a bunch of outlandish gibberish
and... It's simple as pie. Read it just like you'd read English.
Kick over the people's mangel, and before I
it
try...
It sounds just like it looks. The first word is hick. H-I-C. Hick. Read it just like you'd read anything else. Here. Hic dignitis apollorum dum clux simian hobo. Who is agricola upcu hunk? Sim spittle defeatus in slab dum cornucopia.
I won't do it.
Sadie, surely after lending my lodge pants to a perfect stranger to be Santa Claus in and giving my plumed hat to a hyena to put on his Christmas tree, you won't
refuse. I'll read something in American, but I'll kiss a cow before I'll make a ninny out of myself with that Greek junk.
Okay. I'll memorize Hank's greeting. He can memorize my greeting. We'll switch speeches.
Yours printed in American?
Yeah.
Let's see it once.
Right here. Oh, little frenzied brother of mine, wring your clutching hands and listen for the call of the golden oriole as maidens dance by the flashing pool. And the mischievous Tarantula crawls.
I'm not
going to
read that either.
What?
I'm not going to read that either.
Sadie, can it be possible?
Imagine me calling that old Hank Gustav on the telephone and calling him pet names and telling him to wring his hands and dance with the girls and play in the splashing pool.
Was that Rush?
Huh?
Rush?
Yeah.
He hasn't left the house yet.
Well, I expect.
What is the idea, sir?
I brought you your boot.
My boot?
Your lodge boot.
Where was it?
In the basement. I knew it was down there, so I hunted all over the furnace room till I found it. There you are.
Where is my other boat?
That's the big mystery. I looked every doggone place
I knew. Where is my other boat?
I let Miss Husher have it.
What for?
To hang over the fireplace at Christmas time. It's always been a custom in her family to use boots instead of stockings for Santa Claus to put his presents in.
Tom Hackett has my pants, Sally Clark has my plumed hat, and Miss Husher has my other boot. Is that correct?
Well, goodness, you didn't give a person warning. You wanted everything all at once. I'd had the slightest thing.
Where's my sword?
Right upstairs in your bottom dresser drawer. It's all wrapped up nice and ready to use. Shall I go get it?
How about my robe?
Oh, your robe?
My robe.
Charlie Reese has come borrowing it.
And my tunic?
Oh, what'd you do with his tunic, Rush?
You sent me over to Miss Brighton's with it.
Oh, she wanted to use it.
Tom Hackett has my pants. Nellie Clark has my plumed hat. Miss Husher has my boot. Charlie Razorscombe has my robe. And Miss Brighton has my tunic. I haven't much large regalia left. I have
a telephone ringing.
Yes, the telephone is ringing.
Well, I'll answer it. It's probably Ruthie.
You don't need to look daggers at me, Gov. I'm not implicated.
Hello? Yes? Oh, yes, he is. Just a second for you.
Hank Gustav?
I think so. Yes, it is Hank Gustav. Recognize his voice.
He wants his official speech. Read it to him.
Oh, Vic, I just can't read that Greek junk over the telephone.
Here's the book.
Vic, I just can't.
Here's the place.
I'll read the American.
Take this.
I'll read about the maidens in the splashing pool.
Read what I'm giving you.
Vic, I just can't.
Read.
Hank? Oh. Hick, Dignitas, Apollo Rum, Dumb, Cluff, Simeon, Hobo. Q-E-S, Agricola, Up Q, Hump. Sim, Fiddle, in Slob, Dumb, Cornucopia, Itch.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe. Wish you well, and as always, peace.